Welcome to the sermon audio of the Journey Church in Westchester, Pennsylvania. Today's message is a standalone sermon given by Dave Edwards from Riverside Community Church in Horsham, Pennsylvania. It was originally heard on January 10th, 2016. When we look at the story of Jesus walking on water, we like to think that we'd have responded differently than the disciples did, especially Peter. Surely there'd be no doubt in us, especially when we see Jesus face to face as he calls us to join him atop the waves. But faith is challenging. It calls us to obey God in a world that pushes us to do the exact opposite. Faith beckons us to persevere through the endless waves of sin's constant temptations. We must walk with a courageous faith, trusting in him to lead us well and carry us through. So listen as Dave Edwards takes us to Matthew 14 and shows us how faith preserves us, even in the midst of fear, and moves us toward a deeper, faithful obedience to Christ Jesus, who comes to rescue us in the midst of life's storms.
Come before you right now, God, with humble hearts, oh Lord, that you would speak a word into our lives this morning, oh God, that we would be restored, refreshed, and renewed, oh God, that, oh God, you would show us how to walk by faith, oh God, and not allow our faith to be stolen from us, Lord. We just trust you right now, God, that you would just move on our hearts this morning and find fertile soil, oh God, that your seed would dig deep into our souls and bring forth a new life, a new regeneration, God, that we would walk out of this place, God, feeling like we can take on the world by faith, oh God. Lord, we thank you. We praise you right now. We give you glory. Now hide your servant behind the cross, oh God, that only you, God, would speak through me, oh Lord, and that you would just use me as your willing vessel, oh God. Fill this place with your glory. Let your Holy Spirit move upon your people, oh God, that we would give you all the glory, the honor, and the praise. In Jesus' mighty name, we say amen. Amen. And amen. This morning's text, the scripture from Matthew 14, 22 through 33. As I read, immediately he made the disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side while he dismissed the crowds. And after he had dismissed the crowds, he went up into the mountain by himself to pray. And when evening came, he was there alone. But the boat, by this time, was a long way from land. By this time, a long way from land, beaten by the waves. The wind was against them. And in the fourth watch of the night, he came to them walking on the sea. But when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified. And they said, "It is a ghost." And they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid." And Peter answered him, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." And he said, "Come, come." So Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water and came to Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me." Jesus immediately reached out his hand and took a hold of him, saying to him, "O you of little faith, why did you doubt?" And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased. And those in the boat worshiped him, saying, "Truly, truly you are the Son of God." Today's message, it's all about our faith. It's all about our faith. Before I dive into the text, let me just give you a little glimpse of what has transpired before these verses, transpired before we make this next trip across the Sea of Galilee. Jesus had just fed 5,000 men and an untold number of women and children with just 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish and still had 12 baskets of scraps left over. The disciples were there and they were actually the ones feeding the crowd, serving the masses from a never-ending supply of food. Feeding each person one by one, the next and then the next and the next, but never running out. Surely they must have been in awe at this great miraculous event, marveling at the power of the master over sustenance. But this was not the first miracle that they had witnessed. They had seen countless other manifestations of Jesus' divine authority before. When Jesus met them, he came upon them when they were fishing. But they were coming up empty. They had given up. Luke chapter 5 tells us that Jesus told them to go fish in the same spot where their efforts had been fruitless in the past. but cast your nets where I tell you to cast them. And when they did, they brought in an abundance of fish, so much that the net started to break. They had seen Jesus heal the blind. They had seen him heal the sick. Even Peter's mother-in-law was a benefactor of Jesus' healing power when he touched her and made her fever go away. They had witnessed Jesus casting out demons and causing the paralyzed to walk. They saw Jesus speak life into a widow's dead son. No, this was not the first glimpse of Jesus' true identity, nor was it the first time that they had to go around with the Sea of Galilee. Mark in chapter 4 tells us that Jesus wanted to go to the other side of the sea, and disciples followed him into the boat across the lake. And while they were crossing the lake, a storm arose and waves were crashing against the boat, and they were afraid. Jesus was sleeping, so they woke him up, and they said to him, "Jesus, don't you care?" Jesus got up and spoke to the wind and said, "Peace, be still." Nature had no choice but to obey its creator. The disciples could only respond, "What manner of man is this?" But surely at this point, there was enough evidence of his deity that they should have been without question. Surely the miracles that they had witnessed would fuel their unquestionable faith in the day, in the one that they would call the master. An abundance of faith should be overflowing, trusting in the very one they call Lord. Oh, but Jesus knows there's still work to be done in the hearts of the disciples. Thus, one more round with the Sea of Galilee. Immediately, he made the disciples get out into the boat and go before him to the other side while he dismissed the crowds. Interesting, the disciples did not ask any questions. There was no question as to, "Why do we have to leave you, Jesus?" There was no question of, "How long will you be there, Jesus?" And there was no question of, "If we're taking the boat, how are you going to get to us, Jesus?" They didn't even ask about how they were going to be protected as they crossed the sea. Truly, they were operating in obedience just based on their faith. In the natural, all these questions would have been legitimate, but Jesus had shown them something supernatural. They had seen the overflow of their nets when they cast them into a place where they thought the waters were empty. They had seen him multiply food in their hands as they were charged with feeding the flock. Their obedience was based on their faith that Jesus, if Jesus said to do it, it's okay because Jesus has control over everything and we should not worry about anything. The recent events of feeding the multitudes were still fresh in their minds. Sometimes when God speaks to us and he tells us to go and he tells us to come and he tells us to stop or he tells us to leave, he may tell you to return, he may tell you to move, but without question, we should be able to call back on our lives and look at what Christ has already done and just say yes without asking why. Just say yes in obedience of faith because of what he's done in the past. Looking back at how he's kept us, looking back at how he's provided for us, trusting in him, believing in him, just being willing to say yes. Surely there must have been times in your life when you looked and said, "Nobody but Jesus has done this for me." Obedience by faith is not based on what we know, but it's based on what we've experienced in Christ. The faith of knowing that but if he did it before, he can do it again. And after Jesus had dismissed the crowd, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. And when evening came, he was there alone. Just to spend a minute here. All of us are in service for the Lord. But all of us must recognize, as Jesus has demonstrated over and over again, that we need to be in constant contact with the Father. Every time Jesus poured out his soul unto people, He reached back to his Father to be refueled, restored, regenerated. So as you serve the Lord, as you walk in your ministries, as you walk in your gifts, never get to a point where you're so empty that you cannot sustain yourself. Rely on Jesus. Come back and get restored. Go to the Father in prayer and spend that quality time with him. That's what we talk about today, quality time. Quality time with the Father. Jesus showed that over and over and over again. So don't get too far ahead of God. Make sure you spend quality time with him. But the boat, by this time, was a long way away from the land, beaten by the waves, for the wind was against them. Here comes another storm. Sounds like our lives, doesn't it? One storm, then the next, over and over again. But here comes another storm. But notice, there's no mention of fear of the storm on the part of the disciples. Not like before when the storm rose and they said, Lord, where are you? We're afraid. Here, this time, there's nothing about, there's no crying out. The waves are still smashing their boat, but they are staying the course. They're still following the command that Jesus gave them, but this time they're persevering. Why? Because they saw what Jesus said, peace be still. They remembered what Jesus had done in the previous storm. They could have turned back since the wind was against them. They could have turned back and easily found safety in the land. They were a long way, but surely they could have chosen to refuse to do what God had called them to do. But no, they persevered. Why? Because their faith had been built up by seeing what God had done in the past. They were persevering by faith. Not in their own strength, but recognizing that it was God in control. The natural man would have been trying to get back to land. But Jesus had given the disciples a mission, a purpose, a goal. And to them, nothing else mattered. They didn't have all the information. They didn't have all the answers. They didn't know what was going to happen when they got on the other side. They didn't know what was going to happen in the middle of the lake. But yet, their faith in Christ was keeping them. The storm no longer caused them to act in fear. The storm no longer caused them to falter in their faith. Their faith had been increased by the knowledge of Jesus' power. Their faith had been increased by the fact that Jesus would protect them. I'm sure also they did not want to hear from Jesus. Oh, ye a little faith. I'm sure they did not want to hear from Christ that they had disappointed him again. In our walk, when God gives us work to do, we cannot persevere. We cannot stay the course. We will fold up our tents and go home if we do not act in faith. In our own strength, the enemy will consume us. In our own strength, we will be defeated. But in the strength and the faith in Christ, we can persevere through any storm. In faith, the fact is, if Jesus has sent us, he's already prepared a way for us. The fact is, if Jesus is truly our refuge, if he is truly our shelter, our provider, then we don't have to worry. We now have faith in the fact that he would never leave us nor forsake us. Faith in the fact that if God is with us, then who can be against us? So when the winds of life come, and they will come, don't turn back. Don't give up. Stay the course. Know that no weapon formed against you will prosper. Reflect back on the previous storms of your life that Christ has brought you through. Remember that the word of God says that perseverance builds character, and character builds hope. We should rejoice in our trials. God is always trying to build up our faith. The kind of faith that is sure, the kind of faith that is certain, the kind of faith that cannot be broken, the kind of faith that know we are sure of the hope that is set before us, and certain of the things yet seen. The disciples didn't know how they were going to make it, but they persevered through the storm anyway, because their hope and their faith was in Christ Jesus. And in the fourth watch of the night, he came to them walking on the sea. But when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified and said, "It is a ghost." And they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid." Jesus had demonstrated his authority over nature already. He had already demonstrated his authority over sickness and disease. He had even demonstrated his authority over death. But now he demonstrates his divine authority over his own flesh and blood. He demonstrates his authority over his own body. The storm had not stopped yet. There were still waves crashing around. Yet Jesus made himself weightless, walking on the water, never sinking. He walked on top of the water, not buffeted by the winds or waves, not being kicked around, but staying the course. It was something the disciples had not encountered in all their time with Jesus. And clearly his arrival in this manner was unexpected. Fear had crept into their hearts. Here is a glimpse of their imperfect faith. For a minute, we thought they were unshakable. But when Jesus was able to walk on the water, it was more than they could comprehend. Their response was one of fear. They know that they needed help. They know that they long for the help of Jesus. They know that in order to persevere, they would not be able to make it without Jesus. But they did not recognize him. Jesus, being the loving master, he didn't rebuke them for being afraid. He said to them immediately, "Take courage. Do not be afraid." Sometimes the way God responds to us in our storms is not quite what we expect. Sometimes we may be frightened by the answer he gives us to the trial that we're in. We may be afraid that the thing he's asking us to do is just a little too crazy. We may be afraid that he's asking us to step out of our comfort zone. Sometimes when we're in a trial and God shows us the way, we can't accept it. He may be sending us righteous help, but we're not willing to reach out and grab it. In your storms, you will find courage by having faith only in Jesus. We must put aside ourselves to be dependent on him and him alone. For his ways are not our ways. His mind is not our mind. So when that help comes, look for Jesus. Don't question it. When you're in the middle of the storm, and God sends you a way out, don't be afraid. It's Jesus. Psalm 31, verse 24 says, "Be strong and let your heart take courage. all you that wait on the Lord, be strong and take courage as you wait on the Lord. So as we are waiting on the Lord for deliverance from our trials, be courageous. In our flesh, we may think that we have to muster up the courage ourselves to deal with our situation on our own. But in reality, lasting courage is a result of our faith in the Word of God. For in the Word of God, it says, in our weakness, His power is made perfect. When I am weak, I am strong. When fear starts to set in, let us remember 2 Timothy says that God did not give us a spirit of fear, but a spirit of power and love and a sound mind. Therefore, any fear that we feel is from the enemy. Its roots are in faithfulness. Its roots are sourced in doubt. Don't let doubt steal your courage. For we are more than conquerors through Christ Jesus. Ephesians 6 tells us, above all else, every piece of the armor of God, above every piece of the armor of God, take up your shield of faith, for it will quench every fiery dart. Darts of fear, darts of doubt, darts of helplessness, darts of cowardice. Take up your shield and know that God will give you protection by the faith that you walk in. Courage by faith. And Peter answered him, Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water. And he said, come, come. So Peter got out of the boat and he walked on the water and came to Jesus. If it is you, Lord, bid me to come. How I would long to have the faith of Peter to get out of my boat and step into the storms of life. How I personally would love to have that kind of faith to just give up everything and say, I don't care about me. I just want to be in your presence, God. Peter, at that moment, at that instant, when he saw Christ, said, I don't care about my circumstances. Lord, I'm coming to you if you tell me to come. At that very instant, hearing his master confirm his identity, Peter's heart desired to be in the presence of God to the point where the storms didn't matter any longer. Completely trusting in the Lord. A willingness to get out of the boat, out of the safety, out of comfort, and step into treacherous waters. Having faith that if Jesus tells him to come, then Jesus will cover him with an ark of safety. Having faith that if Jesus can raise a widow's son from death and breathe life into him, that Jesus has authority over life and death. Peter was willing to risk everything just to be with Jesus. Peter knew that by faith, if Jesus gave him divine authority to walk on the water, to come to him, that he would not die, but yet he would live. So by faith, he got out of the boat in the middle of the lake as the waters crashed against him, as the waves beat him around. He stepped out. And walked by faith. But he was the only one. He wasn't the only one in the boat. He was the only one that got out of the boat. The other disciples decided to stay in that place of comfort. Sometimes you may be the only one willing to get out of the boat. Sometimes you may be the only one that has that kind of faith that will say, you know what? I don't care about my storms. I don't care what's going on around me, but I'm going to step out and let Christ have me. We can't worry about what other people are doing. We can't worry about who's getting in, who's not getting out. It's about our relationship with Christ. Our faith in Jesus is not to go back to somebody and say, you should have been getting out of that boat. That's not our role. We demonstrate our faith by example that others would see and feel the collective power of a family, a church body, moving by faith. If we really want to experience the power of a divine authority, we have to risk getting out of the boat, which is truly no risk at all. We may have to leave our job. We may have to sell our home. We may have to change our friends. God may call you to do mission work. He may call you to go to seminary. He may lead you to say, I want you to run a small group. But we have to be willing to get out of the boat. We have to take up a cross and follow Jesus wherever he may lead us. Step into the storms of life where our faith can be stretched and tested and grown. Perfected faith. We can no longer play it safe if we want to experience water walking faith. But recognize this. Just a warning. Don't get out of the boat without divine authority. Without seeking God first. Without asking him, God, is this truly you telling me to do this? Is this truly you calling me to do this? When you get out of the boat with your own strength and with your own agenda, you will surely experience the full rage of the sea. You get out of the boat because that's what you want to do. I can guarantee you through personal experience that there is hell to pay. I remember personally saying, I am going to go to seminary. God has called me to preach, and I'm going to seminary. I don't care, come hell or high water, I am going to seminary. We had no money for seminary. My marriage was all messed up, but I was going to seminary. It took me years to recover from my decision to get out of the boat, thinking that I'm walking by faith. No, I'm walking by days. How did I get to that point? How did I get to that point? Because in the past, you see, I got out of the boat when I heard Jesus say, it's time to leave that big corporate job because I got some work for you to do. I got out of the boat when he said, it's time to leave this Fairfax County, Connecticut, where people care about money, and it's time for you to come back home to the Philly area because I got some work for you to do. And when I did that, you see, when I did that, it was a different outcome. God paved the way for us. God provided for us. I didn't have to worry about a job. I didn't have to worry about income. My kids were ended in a good school, and we ended in a perfect home situation because then God had called me to come. So just a warning, when you decide to get out of the boat, Lord, if it's you, God, bid me to come. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried out, Lord, save me. And Jesus immediately reached out his hand and took hold of him and saying to him, O ye of little faith, why did you doubt? O ye of little faith, why did you doubt? Little faith? I can can see Peter now, but I just walked on water. I just walked on water. What do you mean, little faith? Yes, Peter. But you looked at the waves crashing around you, and fear set in. It was not just the fact that he took his focus off Christ. No, Peter did not recognize that because Christ had given him divine authority to walk on the water, that the water no longer had authority over him. Peter's faith was incomplete. He had saving faith, but not living faith. He had faith to know that Jesus would not let him die, but not enough faith to keep him from worrying about his circumstances and being scared at his situation. Not enough faith to look at the waves and the wind and say, in the name of Jesus, I rebuke you. Not enough faith to master his situation, but he let his situation master him. He allowed the treacherous storm to envelop him, to dictate his frame of mind. His fear was so overpowering. Even as a fisherman, as a swimmer, he could do nothing but sink. This is the same Peter who saw his mother-in-law healed. The same Peter that saw the fish fill the net. The same Peter that saw the miraculous loaves feeding the people. The same Peter that saw the winds be still. No living faith. And all he could do was sink. His circumstances were dragging him to the bottom of the sea. The weight of his fears were more than he could bear. In his own strength, he was helpless. He could not save himself. All he could do was cry out, Lord, save me. But with that short prayer, with that cry of despair, with that earnest plea for salvation, Jesus immediately reached out and took him by the hand. What a picture of salvation. Saving grace, justified by faith, not in his own power or his own strength, because Peter was done. He was headed for the deep. But Jesus reached out and took his hand. He didn't lecture Peter first. He didn't tell Peter how wrong he was. He didn't ask Peter how he could come up short. The first thing Jesus did was grab his hand. As we reach out to our brothers and sisters in Christ, surely some of us are off track. Surely some of us don't have enough faith. Surely many of us struggle with different issues, but the first thing is to take one by the hand, to show the love of Christ, the unconditional favor, the unconditional grace, to take them by the hand and say, I'll help you up. Then we can talk about training. Then we can talk about the shortcomings. Then we can talk about how to grow. But when people are down and out and cast down and hurting, they don't want a lecture. They just need a hand. How often do we find ourselves on this endless cycle of highs and lows, feeling like one minute we're walking on water with Jesus, and the next minute worrying, full of anxiety, full of depression, wondering where the next meal is coming from, wondering how the bills are going to get paid, walking around with sad countenance. What glory does God get from that? What glory does the world see when the saints of God do not have a spirit of joy on their face? When we walk around hopeless and in despair. Surely we have accepted Christ as our Lord and Savior. And surely we know by the Spirit in us that we have eternal life. We know that we are saved. But do we believe Him? know him, but do we believe him? Do we believe in God's holy word? Do you honestly have faith in the word that will heal us? Faith in the word that we can trust in? Do you believe that all things truly do work together for good for those that love the Lord? When the storm comes, can you really stand there and say, Lord, I know it's working for my good? Or do you crumble and sink? Do we believe that nothing can separate us from the love of God? That not death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor heights or depths can separate us from the love of God. So at that time when you start feeling lonely, remember that word that nothing can separate us from the love of God. Do we believe that, and do we live that way? Do we live as though we are adopted sons of God and daughters of the Most High? Do we live in our new identities as adopted children of the Lord and joint heirs with Christ Jesus, walking in his power and authority over life itself? We can no longer let our circumstances steal our joy, take away our peace, get us depressed and stressed out. We have dominion over our circumstances. Jesus tells us, he says, I take care of the birds. I clothe the lilies of the field. If I do that for them, would I not do that much more for you? Our God owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. There's no need to worry about money or finances because it's all his. Maybe you're going through sickness or disease, but the word of God says by his stripes we are healed. Believe that God's healing power is still flowing today. The word says many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers them from them all. God is our refuge and our strength, a very present help in the time of trouble. It is not enough to have saving faith. We need to have living faith as well. Taking the scriptures as truth, as fact, and nothing less. In this way, the world will know that we are set apart. In this way, the world will know that Christ resides in us. In this way, the world will be attracted to something about us that says there's Christ Jesus in us. So when they face despair and they're looking for hope, they should be able to look to us and see something special, something unique. A joy, unspeakable joy. A peace that passes all understanding. And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased. And those in the boat worshiped him, saying, truly, you are the Son of God. Finally, the disciples understand. Finally, they get it. Finally, they truly know that Jesus is the Son of God. Jesus had taken them through the storms and taken them through trials and helped them to perfect their faith to the point where they knew that they know that they know that Jesus is truly the Son of God. He had to let Peter sink for a moment, but through his divine plan, they finally worshiped him for who he was. And when the storms come, rejoice because the Lord is working something out in all of us. When we go through our trials and tribulation, know that we can stand on faith, that nothing can hurt us, nothing can harm us because God is in control. He is perfecting your faith. We are his ambassadors. And he wants us to walk on water. But we can only do that fully, completely, if we not only have saving faith, but living faith as well. Faith that knows that we have authority over our circumstances. Maybe today someone does not know this faith I'm talking about. Maybe someone has never experienced the touch of Jesus. Maybe there's somebody in here today that has not fully submitted to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Today is the day. Today is the day where you can find salvation. Today is the day when you can find that helping hand that will reach down and lift you up. If there's one today that does not know Jesus for the pardoning of their sins, please do not leave the sanctuary without reaching out to Pastor Raymond or Pastor Brody to say, Lord, save me. And if by chance you already know the saving power of Christ, if you are not living through that same faith, just ask God, increase my faith, O Lord. Increase my faith. And God will surely, surely, surely answer your prayer. We are not to be tossed by every wind and doctrine. We are to walk upright before the Lord. Saving faith, living faith, we need them both. May God bless the hearing of his holy word, and may he speak to our hearts on this day. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the sermon audio from the Journey Church. Join us for worship each Sunday morning at 10 o'clock as we strive to be a place where people encounter Christ, experience community, and exist for others. You can discover more about The Journey Church by visiting us online at thejourneywc.org.